down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, we've all heard of blind spots, but a new book is introducing us to our so-called deaf spots as more and more people ignore the chatter on pressing issues. Tune in, How to Make Smarter Decisions in a Noisy World, equips fed-up readers with the tools to tackle our own biases in an information-heavy society. Delighted to be joined now by the author of Tune In, Nuala Walsh. She's the CEO of Mind Equity and she's also a behavioural scientist. Nuala, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Bobby.
Thank you for coming in. Firstly, maybe tell us a little about what, because I know it's your first book, but the origins behind creating such a book. Why did you write the book?
Sure. Well, I had spent 30 years or so in corporate life, and then I had done maybe 5 years as a behavioural scientist. And what I realised was that judgment is at a premium, as we know, in this noisy AI world. And the ability to improve your decision making and avoid predictable error is there. And it's a tuned out world where people are really struggling, as you say, to make really good decisions. So the impetus was this realisation that if people only understood why they make these mistakes, that they would have a greater ability to avoid predictable error. So in this world where people are hearing less and being heard less, I just thought it was a fantastic opportunity to merge together a little bit of science with all of the stories to help, you know, not just business people, but, you know, parents, professors, politicians to make better decisions.
So do we all have a kind of an inherent bias on the basis of the information that we're exposed to?
You actually have about 200 biases. So given that that's overwhelming and you can't cope with 200 biases, you do. But the more you are aware of them, the more you have the opportunity to actually mitigate them.
And okay. So maybe give us some examples of, you know, of a bias that somebody might not know they have and then a poor decision that might come out of such a bias.
Okay, well, I've broken it down into 10 different kind of traps. So if you talk about a power-related trap or an ego-related trap, if I take one bias, for example, I call it the illusion of invulnerability, which basically means you think that it's never going to be you, you're never going to make a mistake. So more recently, we've read in the paper Sam Bankman-Fried, for example, of FTX, and he made this massive rush to judgment. Yes, he has now been put into prison, but he thought that it would never happen to him, that he would get away with it. It's the same as Ghislaine Maxwell, for example, or any of these people in power. They think that these errors will never happen to them.
And is there a common denominator with some of those people that they keep it all so tight, as in there's so few people that actually really know the truth of what's going on? Certainly that seemed to be the case in his case, and indeed the other example that you mentioned.
Well, it's not only that. It's a very good point. It is partly that, and that's part of it. But actually, in the Sam Bankman-Fried case, he actually admits himself that he was so overwhelmed with the data that he just didn't know what he was doing at one point. Now, I know that there's an ethical component to that, but if you look at how he spoke when he got caught, he spoke to the press really liberally, which was a gift to a journalist, if you like, that he was so open, and that was eventually what landed him in prison because he self-incriminated. So again, it's ego, it's this illusion of control, it's this illusion of superiority, and in many cases, as you've seen in American politics, when you talk about a power-related trap, it's people who are afraid to lose power. So what decisions do you make when you're climbing the ladder or when you have power and you're afraid to lose power? So you are then more vulnerable to error than any other
You point. Also cite the former NatWest CEO, Alison Rose, discussing the controversy after discussing Nigel Farage's banking history with the media.
I do. And I think she's a great example. And what that shows is that people can be really successful. So the challenge is that the more successful you are, the more you think you're not going to make this mistake. And you think that the more immune you are to bias. And she's a very good example of someone who climbed the ladder, did incredibly well, and then made a bad judgment call for whatever reason. So you can look at all of these people. You can look at Liz Truss, who got into a fantastic position and then tuned out of everything sensible. So that was another combination of, you know, whether it was ego bias, time. She wanted to be the first, the best, the most impressive. And she tuned out everybody from, you know, her chancellor to her party to the IMF. So the point is that no matter how successful you are, you do need to be careful of these because they will bring you down at some point.
OK. And again, people in those positions as well, you know, there's so many people waiting to take them down. So you're really a lamb to the slaughter if you're off your guard.
That's a really good point. Because that is true, because a CIO once told me, be very careful of success, because that is exactly when people, you know, do get jealous and you get professional envy and people do want to take you down. So, and again, you don't think it because you are cocooned and you have all of these sycophants around you that tell you how great you are and you believe it and you want to believe it.
Yeah.
And therefore, as exactly as you say, you know, you're not as open to hearing it as other people might be.
And then that leads me on to say that, you know, if I'm lucky enough to be successful, you need to be really careful about having yes men or yes people around you, don't you? Because that is a trap that people will fall into.
It's a huge trap, and it's also, when you are in that position, there's also what they call, there's a subtle silencing effect, because you exert power in your own capacity because, you know, people, you control people's pay or their promotion or whatever. So there's a great onus on the power holder to be really careful about how they speak, because A, other people won't hear them as clearly as they could or should if they're not exerting the right sort of influence. So I do think that be careful of the first voice you hear, the most senior voice, or even the loudest voice. And we all know that sometimes it's the loudest voice that wins out, or the most popular voice, which is another trap when you fall into just following the herd.
Right. Tell us about your own thoughts around human intelligence versus the emergence of AI. This is something you've got to have considered, you know, even thought a lot about.
I have, and it is an AI world, and we know that. And I actually think the book plays to the fact that judgment is at a premium, and too many people are just resorting to AI as the answer. I actually think that because you have AI, you are even more at risk of just defaulting to AI. Why? Because it's easier, it's quicker, it's simpler. But I think today, you're more at risk because of these different factors, and the evidence is there. So for me, it's about human intelligence, not artificial intelligence. Of course, artificial intelligence helps and it's tremendously useful, but it isn't the answer. And the more you rely on that, the more you are actually putting yourself and other people at risk as well.
So does that mean that we need to be extra careful around validating our news?
Completely. When we say the word misinformation, you automatically think of fake news or maybe disinformation. What you don't think about is misinformation of the mind.
Sure.
So there are two forms of that misinformation and validating things. So Ronald Reagan had this great phrase, trust but verify, if you remember. But I think distrust but verify. So assume that some of the information, particularly when it comes to high stakes decisions, assume it's wrong and then try and validate it rather than just automatically accepting information at face value, which is unfortunately what too many people are doing today.
Yeah. Your own career is very interesting, Nuala. You know, as a backdrop to the book, you know, 30 years experience in global investment. You must have seen lots of stuff along the way, you know, that finds its way into this book in some guise.
I sure did. Well, actually, my whole career, I think, is found in the book. So certainly you'll find CEO examples and investor examples, but you'll also find serial killers and wrongful convictions in there as well. I sit on the board of the Innocence Project, so you'll see that interest in forensic psychology coming through quite strongly as well, which, again, is another example of how people rush to judgment. Jurors, you know, on trials. There's a very interesting stat that says that most of them will tell you that they've tuned in to all of the evidence, but only 24% of jurors change their mind, which is terrible. And we know the consequences of that.
So they have preconceptions.
Correct.
And they don't even realise it.
Yeah. Correct.
Okay, so where can one get this great book? Because it really is. It's a pretty cool read, endorsed by people like Paul McGinley, who's saying, timely, a winning template for high performers.
It is in Amazon and all the usual bookstores. And also I can be contacted on LinkedIn, or my TED Talk is on overcoming indecision, which is related. And so I think it's the overall message is really ask questions and question answers. Just don't take things at face value.
Very, very interesting. So the book is called Hear What Others Don't, Tune In. The author is Nuala Walsh. Nuala, great to talk to you today.
Thanks very much, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.